This is Randy Bauman of the DVE Morning Show.
Chris Riddell is a very funny guy. Check out his podcast, Use All the Crayons. There you go.
Thanks, Randy. Arnold Palmer was in the news this week. Well, a part of Arnold Palmer was in the news. A couple of organizations from around the country reached out to me for stories and local reaction. I assured them all that Trump was wrong to say Palmer's pecker was huge. I told them every Latrobe pecker is way above the national average. In fact, I'm friends with a pecker or two that are over 6 feet tall. I'm Chris Riddell, and this is the Use All the Crayons podcast. This is where we share how we're always keeping it colorful right here in Latrobe and the lovely Laurel Highlands. Today we're going to be talking about Arnold Palmer from the waist up. I'll be sharing some of the insights from the more than 100 interviews I did face-to-face with him over 20 years. These are some of the tales that fill the pages of my 2018 book, Arnold Palmer, Homespun Stories of the King. This is a Halloween story I did in 2019 about how I hope someday the ghost of Arnold Palmer will haunt the Tin Lizzy. First of all, it says something about the quality of our dead regulars that if I could summon their spirits, Arnold Palmer would come in fourth. He'd be behind Zach, Wayne, and Dave. All three were fixtures here at the Tin Lizzy, the place where the good times never die. But some of the regulars do. As upbeat promotional slogans go, this one's probably a non-starter. But it shows the kind of outside-the-pine-box thinking I bring to the brainstorming table. I've been thinking about dead regulars ever since I belatedly learned a documentary film crew had been here to determine whether the historic tavern is haunted or not. There were interviews, B-roll shots, and assorted skullduggery. Amazingly, this all took place without me. I have one of those massive egos that leads me to believe I should be consulted on all big issues. Heck, I think I should be consulted on who's allowed to drive motor vehicles and who's not. See, I think it would be good for business if we could convince people that yes, the bar is haunted, haunted by the ghost of Arnold Palmer. And talk about your friendly ghosts. It'd be a very believable lie, my favorite kind. It's a somewhat quaint turn of phrase, but Palmer used to haunt the Tin Lizzy when he was still alive. He was in here all the time, and the man could really light up a room. For years, there was robust rumor going around that he is actually born in the building back when the upper floors were apartments for various tenants, including, in fact, Palmer's father, Deacon. The rumor was so persistent, I one day felt compelled to ask Palmer about it. "What do you think we were, pioneer folk?" he said, leaving the unsaid jackass hanging in the air. "I was born in a hospital just like you." And alas, that was the last thing me and the multimillionaire legend ever had in common. Note, when I tried to convince one of the more stubborn rumor spreaders of the fiction, he said, "Well, then he was conceived in the Tin Lizzy." I told him we don't have the technology to determine that one. Today, the second floor is Flappers, a bar, the one Zach managed, and the third floor is an after-hours cornhole court and the shabby office of one of often behind the rent tenant, that'd be me. But think of the fun if Palmer's ghost came back. The warp floors would provide a putting challenge as monumental as anything found at Augusta. Really, we don't even need to make up any stories. It'd be fine if we just told all our old Palmer stories from when he still had a pulse. He died September 25th, 2016. Just because Palmer couldn't live forever doesn't mean our best Palmer stories can't. People would come from all over to hear the stories and, cross your fingers, see his ghost, or some hokey facsimile for themselves. Still, I'm feeling an odd melancholy over the still fresh deaths of our friends. I miss them all. I'd summon them if I could. I'd have them meet me right here for the Friday happy hour, but I'm fearful they'd all be pissed off at me for extricating their blessed souls from a land of milk and honey and dissecting them and directing them to a place known for giving away canned spam on games of chance. But what do I know? It's Halloween, and I'm just spookulating. Colorful living tip number 973. Spend a weekend willing yourself to blink more slowly. That way you'll be better prepared to savor all the wonders everyone says go by in the blink of an eye. Here's some quotes I have from Arnold Palmer, about Arnold Palmer, and from Arnold Palmer. "Back in Latrobe, I was always just Arnie. It's one of the reasons I never left. I still knew the same great guys who played football or wrestled. I'd see the same people in the stores and restaurants. They were the people with whom I grew up. They always made me feel like I was always just one of the boys, just Arnie. There's so much he has to teach us about life, about humility, humanity, and how to embrace and uplift one another the Arnold Palmer way. That great man is so internationally iconic and so tied to his hometown roots, we need to find a way to build on his legacy, and Latrobe must be the epicenter. That's from Pennsylvania Governor Tom Ridge. This is from Arnold. Looking out the windows, he said, "This is the most beautiful place in the world. It has everything. It has mountains, fresh water, four beautiful seasons, and friendly people. I've been all over the world and have never found a place better than this. I live in Florida the rest of the time, and I love Orlando. But if I were forced to choose one place over all the others, this would be it." Arnold Palmer. I learned from watching him that the most important person in the world was the person right in front of him. When he was in public, I'd just stand back and marvel at the grace with which he'd conduct himself. Oh, how I looked up to that man. Pennsylvania State Trooper Steve Lamani. This is from Jim Nance, CBS newscast, sportscaster. He was just so proud of Latrobe. That town and those people kept him so grounded. He never forgot who he was and where he came from. Latrobe, that old steel town, is the crucible that forged Arnold Palmer. This is from our friend John Rusbossen, retired Latrobe businessman. It's a Palmer mindset shared around Latrobe, a mindset that doing good because doing good wasn't only helpful and proper, but because doing good also feels good. It's spiritual. It makes the world a better place. This is what Gary Player said when he first saw him. My first impression of Arnold Palmer was that he was some kind of superhero. I saw him take one swing on the practice tee, a drive, and I said this was the best golfer I've ever seen. One swing. What happened on that swing? That's the first time I ever saw sparks fly when it hit a club, hit the ball. My friend Michael Patrick Shields asked me to be on his Michigan program about Arnold Palmer and the things that Donald Trump said about him. Here it is.
This is a guy that was all man. man was strong and tough. And I refuse to say it, but when he took showers with the other pros, they came out of there and they said, oh my God, that's unbelievable. I had to say it. We have women that are highly sophisticated here, but they used to look at Arnold as a man, but he was really something special. Arnold was something special. So I just want to tell you, you're very lucky, the people that live in Detroit, and it's an honor for me to be here because of him. He was a great man, and I don't think there would be golf to the extent that you have it today. It probably wouldn't be that way without the great Arnold Palmer. So enjoy it, everybody. Enjoy it. And I had to tell you the shower part of it because it's true. What can I tell? We want to be honest. We want to be upfront. It's true.
Chris Rodell, you interviewed Arnold Palmer in person dozens, maybe hundreds of times. What was your reaction when you heard the story?
Well, I was upset because they keep moving the goalposts on me. You know, it used to be if you lived in Lake Tripp, they'd ask, did you know Arnold Palmer? And then it was, did you golf with him? Now, how long is his penis?
Do you have any idea? I don't imagine you do.
Well, I thought, you know, shy of exhuming him from an unplayable lie, I checked out the Arnold Palmer statue outside the Arnold Palmer Airport. It was no help. It was dressed in traditional clothing, not a Speedo.
Okay. Rodell, thoughtful. Tell us how we get the whole
many books that you've written and your work now?
It's on chrisrendell.com. It's a brand new website. They've got, it's the first adult website I've ever had because it doesn't mention National Enquirer.
Ah, but this is part of your story, sir.
Oh, I'm happy to talk about it all the time, yeah, but it doesn't make it foremost. My books are now foremost in my overview, let's say.
Well, I can see why, too. They're intriguing and insightful.
Thank you.
If you're interested in Arnold Palmer, if you're interested in Mr. Rogers, if you're interested in a life where you use all the crayons in the box, Chris Rodell is the place to find it, chrisrodell.com. And Latrobe, where Donald Trump blew through and amused the crowd with the saucy Arnold Palmer story. You can't make this stuff up, folks. Michael Patrick Shields through the AT&T microphones.
Wonder if guys in heaven talk about earth bodies the way they talk about old cars. Man, it was bald, had a great big ass, this little tiny pecker, but the thing got great mileage. This is a story I wrote about when I was talking to Arnold Palmer, and was about to play golf at Oakmont Country Club with Doc Giffen. I'm set to golf today at Oakmont Country Club in about 4 hours. The fact will no doubt stir resentment among my golfing friends. Oakmont is one of the most prestigious golf clubs in the world. Well, let me rub it in a little more. I'll tee off after I bid Arnold Palmer bon voyage on his way to Florida. One of my partners today is Doc Giffen. He's been Palmer's able assistant for the past 45 years. And Doc asked me to pick him up at Palmer's Latrobe office where he wants to say goodbye. And I get to tag along. I'm on a bit of an Arnold Palmer roll right now. And by Arnold Palmer roll, I don't mean the man has behind the hip Arnold Palmer Tea has added a trendy new sandwich to his culinary endeavors. I interviewed Palmer Friday for about the 75th time in the past 10 years. I started off, as I always do, with a real toughie. Mr. Palmer, on Monday you're departing Latrobe for Orlando, where you'll spend the next 6 months while we here in western Pennsylvania endure the wind, the snow, and the ice. My question, will you please take me with you? He roared with laughter. Then he said no. The whole interview couldn't have gone better. It was the highlight of my day. Heck, it might have been the highlight of his day, too. I know this because at the conclusion he told me, I'm the best interviewer he's ever had. He said, you are the best. It's always a real treat to sit and talk with you. You're funny and you ask great questions. I always really enjoy these interviews. You're probably thinking, well, one of the reasons Arnold Palmer is so popular with the media is because he says that to everyone. That may be true, but if it is, I found out he's said it more to me than anyone else. Bob Drum, the legendary Pittsburgh sports writer who chronicled and assisted Palmer's rise to legend. I asked Palmer how far I had to go until I reached Drum's status. You're right there, he said. I don't think anybody's interviewed me more than you. And that's saying something. Coming from him, it was incredibly flattering. And I had it all recorded. Or so I thought. I floated out of the room thinking I could take this precious audio and make a great YouTube clip of one of the most interviewed and popular men in the world saying I was the best. Heck, Trump posted on his website if Palmer deigns to pose for a picture with him. Remember, I wrote this back in 2016. So I get to my office and I admit, foremost on my mind wasn't transcribing the interview for which I was being paid. No, it was how I was going to best use the Palmer praise to make myself look monumental. It was all I had on my mind. And that's probably the reason I somehow deleted the whole thing. Gone, all of it, from a foolproof iPhone. I wasn't really worried about the interview. Everything he says is burned into my brain, and the Q&A format makes it easy to duplicate. Doc later told me it read like a transcript. But what was I to do about the part where Palmer said how great I was? To ask Doc if I could come back and have him say it all over again would be unseemly. I did it anyway. And to really make the unseemly ante up, I upped it and asked if I could film him doing it while holding a copy of my book. I was intent on the offhand compliment, turning it into a full-out infomercial. I'll tell you, when it comes to shameless self-promotion, I got crass coming out of my ears. But Doc said no, the timing couldn't be worse. So my hopes to enrich my life through something Arnold Palmer said were in vain. It's okay. There are other compensations. See, knowing Arnold Palmer means you can always get great golf tips from Arnold Palmer. That's what happened when I told him I was playing Oakmont. I asked if he had any suggestions about how I could get a really good score today. And indeed, he had a great tip. He suggested I play someplace else. Colorful Living tip number 951. Sit in a quiet bar and wait for the weather forecast to come up on the TV news. When they get to the part where they show the high and low pressure system working their way across the country, stand up and begin an exaggerated tremble. Point at the screen and shout, "Run for your lives! There's a giant H about to land on the city." Flee the bar. Thanks for checking out my podcast. That's all for this week. Hope you're tuning in next week.
John Jamison, retired sheep farmer, Crabtree, Pennsylvania. My colorful living tip of the day is learn the fine art of knowing precisely when to quit.
Thank you.
Yes.